Are you ready? A lot of dazed looks on your faces. He smiles. Some old boys, and he's going to preach next weekend too, huh? I would like you to think about your life. If there is anything that is holding you back in your walk with Christ, I would like you to write it on that piece of paper. Now, I know some people don't like to share, and some people might be afraid that the person sitting behind them or in front of them may look around and see what you wrote. So for those people, simply put something like this. Jesus, I confess the sins in my heart. I want you to think about that and hold on to that piece of paper until later on. Does everyone understand the objective? Kids, young adults, I'm sorry. Young adults, do you understand? In today's gospel lesson, we read about a Roman citizen named Paul, but he was also a Jew who was given the name Saul. Now, he was born in Tarsus, but his parents wanted a better life for him, so they brought him to Jerusalem, where he was raised, and he was taught at the feet of the Rabbi Gamaliel. And Saul, he was a very good student of the ancestral traditions of Jewish law. This was to be his work, persecuting the young Christian church and its followers. That's his job. Who was the first Christian martyr? Stephen. Saul had a hand in that as well, consenting to have him stoned. By the way, I knew the answer. I was just trying to get everybody. Thanks. Participation. Now, Saul is walking on the road to Damascus. He's with some other people. He has letters. So he is able to enter the synagogues and search for people who belong to the way. And that way is the way of Jesus Christ. And he had permission to take those people and bound them and take them to Jerusalem for persecution. When a change takes place, transformation, one that has affected everyone here today. All that it took for this to happen was a light from heaven to flash around Saul and the people he was traveling with. The voice of Jesus clearly heard by all, but not seen. 3 days of blindness with no food or water. That's all it took. And then there was this disciple named Ananias. I can feel for Ananias. He was no fool. He has a dream. A vision. The Lord says, I want you to go see this guy from Tarsus named Saul. Lay your hands on him. Oh, wait a minute. Lord, you might want to rethink that. You know, that guy's here to persecute us. You know, my good buddy Stephen, does that name ring a bell? What does the Lord say? He says, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings. So being a good disciple, he does that. He goes, he places his hands on Saul and says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's written that immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He got up. He was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. He spent a few days in Damascus with the disciples and then went forth preaching the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now when I say all it took, I was not trying to belittle that. Not too many of us see a light flashing all around us. Not too many people are put on the ground and have a voice telling us, this is what you're going to do. What did Paul do for us? Why is he even mentioned? How many books in the New Testament did he write? Anybody know? He is credited with 13, 14 if you count that he co-authored a lot with Hebrew. I'd say that was very important, wouldn't you? The man who persecuted, transformed into someone that I would like to. Someone who, even though he was in jail, even though his life was threatened, was still proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to share with you a daily devotional from Promise Keepers, Men of Integrity magazine, and dated January 11th, 2006, by Vince D'Attilio. Wrong, I'm sorry. A woman was being tailgated by a stressed out man on a busy boulevard. The light turned yellow in front of her. Instead of beating the red light by accelerating, she did the right thing. She stopped at the crosswalk. This tailgating man hit his horn, screaming in frustration and at missing his chance to plow through the intersection. In mid-rant, he heard a tap on the window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered him to exit the car with his hands up. He took him to the police station where he was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a cell. Now, after a couple hours, a policeman opened the cell door. He was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with the man's personal effects. He said, I'm sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind you while you were blowing your horn and making derogatory gestures and cursing a blue streak at the woman in front of you. I noticed the Follow Me to Sunday School license plate holder, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you stole the car. While this story may be humorous to some, does the above story hit a little too close to home for others? Does that describe you? In case you're wondering, I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. We have three enemies working against us. They are our flesh, our world, and Satan. What is the strongest muscle in the body? The tongue. With it, we can lift people up or rip them apart. James 3:8 through 10 states, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth can come praise and cursing." My brothers, this should not be. In Matthew 15:10 through 12, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of a man's mouth, that is what makes him unclean." We have other issues as well with our flesh, don't we? We have the eye.